Humans influence rivers in numerous ways. Agriculture probably has its largest environmental effect in being agriculture to begin with. That is, in landscape modification. To farm, we alter the landscape, and that often includes riverine or riparian clearing and other modifications right up to stream banks. Many of us here in the division, A5, work on the loss of nutrients to both groundwater and to rivers, and there's quite a vivid image there of nutrient enrichment from the east. Nice green color slide that Peter provided. Sedimentation clearly is an issue, particularly, well, we have it in our western streams. Hydrologic alteration. If you come to the San Joaquin River Symposium, we'll be talking about that. Parts of that river reach are dried up for irrigation. Actually, no water at all in the river, even though at one time it was full. And clearly, contaminant pollution is a major issue. These are all these types of ways that we can influence them. So what's the role of agriculture, then, in affecting rivers? Well, we have quite an interesting, I think, contrast or sets of comparisons for you in the three symposia. Out on the left coast is the San Joaquin River watershed. It's the smallest river, but we make up for that by having the most intensive regulation probably of any river system in the United States. You'll hear about that Tuesday afternoon. In the heartland is the Mississippi, and helping to organize this made me appreciate what a profound river system it is. Over 40% of the landscape of the United States is affected by it, large numbers of states. And then there's the Susquehanna, which has quite interesting issues that are unique to it, including a fairly direct and substantial impact of urban populations. The idea for the symposia was to bring together groups of people who always say they want to meet together, but often don't. And that is people who are in the regulatory community, people who are environmentalists, water resource specialists, scientists from various different types of agencies, and some folks from the regulatory community to discuss their various viewpoints and share with us their points of view and see what kind of interaction we can generate from that kind of dialogue. Really, we're interested in how these non-point source issues are perceived and from in various communities. So we work often in our own regions. We get very familiar with our river systems, with our environmental problems in each of our areas. But there might be some things that we find that are generalizable that can be of use to us by doing cross-system comparisons. We can ask what's common, what's different, what's worked, what hasn't. In many cases, there's a lot that hasn't worked. And since this is a meeting of the Tri-Societies, American Society of Agronomy, Crop Science Society of America, and Soil Science Society of America, we want to ask those of us that are in the divisions how our work perhaps could be better focused to address these issues than they currently are. So we have some points that we'd like to consider for discussion. We have a discussion session that we have plenty of time in this session in particular, as the schedule falls out, for discussion at the end of the presentations this morning. And we have a discussion session at the end of the third symposium Tuesday afternoon, which will then be followed by the A5 business meeting. And there are issues that I'd like you to keep in mind. For comparison, what are the pollutant and other issues affecting the three different river systems? What current or anticipated impairments to the river systems will occur from agriculture? What type of regulations are applied to these river systems? And what agricultural research and related issues are needed to address, or could be proposed to address them? Now, the scale, as I mentioned earlier, of these river systems is quite different. You see, over a million square miles, almost 1,250,000 square miles is drained by the Mississippi. It's 2,300 miles long. There's 16 states there that are affected. We see issues related to nutrients, sediments, repairing alterations, certainly in the Mississippi. And there are lots of projects in the headwaters and the related tributaries of the Mississippi to work on water quality. But I'm not quite certain, or at least in making the slide, how integrated overall regulation of the Mississippi River is, and what's in the perhaps with U.S. EPA in store for the regulation of that river. The Susquehanna is a much smaller river. It has a large watershed in New York, Pennsylvania, and Maryland. Nutrients and sediments are particularly important issues in that area, and there are clear, important regionally coordinated programs, particularly to protect the Chesapeake Bay. The San Joaquin River is the shortest or smallest of the rivers, and it's only in one state, just California. But there's a whole raft of things that are of interest that are regulatory goals and targets: sediments, nutrients, pesticides, salts. Salts are an issue in the West in ways that they aren't in the East. Irrigation is an issue. All the agriculture effectively is irrigated. Riparian alteration is an issue, and endangered species have a big role in the regulation of that river. There's even regulation at the farm level for water discharge. So farmers have to, that, at least in the consortia, have to have NPS permits. And if you want to hear about that, the first talks in the San Joaquin Symposium will elaborate on that. Well, just a little bit of a visual overview. The nice images of the Mississippi River, you can see visually, it's really astounding, really, how much of the American heartland is drained and how many states are there. And, of course, this river is important to us both as a transportation highway for our goods, and it has been since the Midwest was settled. That's why Louisiana has always been an important, New Orleans has always been an important city as a coastal gateway to the whole American heartland. The Mississippi drains an area of about 40% of the continental U.S. and includes landscapes that's supposed to say 16 states. This is the U.S.'s heartland. We have obviously some of the most productive agricultural landscapes in the world here. And now it's the center of a new bioenergy or biofuel industry, which will have perhaps significant effects and will be most discussed a lot in our symposium. Sediments and nutrient losses are considered to be serious problems, and they clearly affect the Gulf of Mexico. The Chesapeake is an interesting river system. It has the largest watershed area to estuary volume in the world. The Susquehanna itself is a significant contributor to the Chesapeake watershed. Large amounts of the fresh water, large amounts of the nitrogen and phosphorus and sediment come from the Chesapeake, from the Susquehanna system. And as I mentioned, there's this program to try to regulate the Chesapeake as a whole, and that includes the river system and the upstream agriculture that's there. And we have in that region, you know, nearby anyway, the largest portion of the U.S. population living in contact with those river systems that make it particularly interesting. The San Joaquin River is quite different from these others. It starts up somewhere up near Mount Whitney there on the top. Is a beautiful mountain stream with trout and various, you know, fly fishermen flocking to it. It's dammed, a Friant Dam, and most of that water is diverted not into the river, but actually south to irrigate agriculture in the southern San Joaquin Valley. The water that does escape goes through a highly modified riparian channel, and in the end is actually depleted and dried up for large stretches. And then other rivers flow into it and return flow, and then it flows into a very hydrologically complex region called the Delta, which is the largest delta on the west coast of North or South America. So it's a very interesting place. It drains arguably one of the most productive agricultural regions in the world. There's over 200 different crops grown there, all with irrigation. If you eat almonds, they come from there, 90% of the world's almond supply. All kinds of things. There's a substantial dairy industry. The largest dairy industry in the United States is located in that valley. The environmental problems include, as I mentioned, regulatory limitations on irrigation, the occurrence of salts and trace elements, especially selenium, which is extremely difficult, and you'll hear about that again in the symposium. large amounts of the western section of the valley are affected by these issues. The regulations now include these NPS discharge permits, real-time monitoring of pollutants in the river, and land retirement. So it's very intensively regulated. And there's plans to rewater the San Joaquin River, which will also exacerbate irrigation issues. So that gives you a bit of an overview of the symposia. I hope that as many of you as possible can attend all three and participate in the discussions. And with that, we can probably march on. And oh no, one last slide. This is the schedule. Sorry, Dennis. I want to point out that each of the sessions were organized by different folks. Dennis Keeney's been very tireless in helping get the Mississippi River session set up. Peter Kleiman and Ray Bryant were organized the Susquehanna session, and I had a hand in the San Joaquin one. And these are the schedules and the locations. So thanks very much.